This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. It's been 2.5 years since the fires of September 2020 destroyed thousands of homes on both sides of the state line. Jackson County lost 2,500 homes in one day. And there is no opposite of fire, no process that puts lost homes back as fast as they burned. That's why there's a Jackson County Community Long-Term Recovery Group. JCCLTRG is the acronym, with an emphasis on housing. Matthew Havniar is the Housing Recovery Director and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome, Matthew.
Thanks for having me this morning.
You bet. So much work by so many entities and people to bring the burned areas back. What is the overall mission of the Long-Term Recovery Group, as if the name didn't tell us?
Right. So we were formed in the wake of the fire, and our mission is to deliver equitable and inclusive recovery, putting survivors at the focus, and really unite recovery resources within the community needs in order to ensure that all survivors in the community are recovering and complete recovery from the disaster.
All right. So a bit of equity in there, but also it sounds like you're a bit of a conduit as well between services and agencies and the people who can use the things that they provide.
Absolutely. One thing that the fire, brought together was this massive community effort in recovery. There's a number of organizations involved. From the top tiers of the government down to grassroots and volunteers. And at the LTRG, one of the things that we focus on is convening these partners and organizing the recovery efforts so that it's coordinated across the recovery and no survivor gets missed.
All right. Specific to housing, a recent chat with the folks at Rogue Food Unites yielded a number of roughly 200 people still living in motels in the Rogue Valley. What are the obstacles that keep them out of housing?
Yeah, well, and that's one of those great community partners that I just spoke of. They've done tremendous work since the day of the fire and continue to do so. There are a lot of families still living in temporary housing. They haven't found their permanent solution and haven't permanently recovered yet. One of the biggest challenges is just finding affordable and attainable housing here in Southern Oregon, and definitely not an issue that is local to us. We see that across Oregon and the West Coast and other areas, but We have a pretty drastic underproduction of housing, and the number of available and attainable units is shorter than what the need currently is. So while there are a lot of community partners and people working very hard to find solutions for these families, finding the actual housing that is a good fit for them is much more difficult, and that is what has taken the most time.
Do you have any indication, Matthew, about how many new units are coming online and what the timing of them is? I mean, you can see if you just drive through Phoenix and Talon on 99 alone how much construction is going on. But I still don't know how much time is left in some of these places. You have, like, 6 new units coming online a day, anything like that?
I don't have a daily number. That's a really good question. But I know that since the fire, and especially now, in 2023, we are seeing a lot of that construction. Some of it's already been completed. Some is being completed this summer. And we're still breaking, there are partners still breaking ground on a number of units. So housing is happening. Housing is being created, especially after the fire. But we need to have a focus to continue momentum and increase even more so because of how drastically the housing deficit was before the fire. Another thing is a lot of the units that were lost to the fire were affordable. A majority of them were some of the affordable inventory in our towns, and it was also sometimes very accessible housing and attainable for people. And we're replacing that with housing that isn't quite as affordable. So we have to have a focus on keeping things affordable as we build and finding new innovative ways to keep costs down in the construction. We're seeing that. I know you had the Faldens on the show talking about New Spirit and the innovative 3D printing housing.
Mm-hmm. In Medford.
We also have modular units being constructed that are being built in Portland and being brought down, and they're accessible. And those types of innovative housing construction practices to keep the cost down are what's going to drive the affordable inventory.
We also did get an email in our previous segment with Representative Pam Marsh about the fact that, the person who wrote the email lives in a manufactured home and said that it seems like when a manufactured home goes up for a sale, they get snapped up pretty fast. So it's not like these are lying fallow for a long time. There's quite a bit of demand there.
Yes. The demand far outweighs what is available and what what we have in current inventory. I think that it's going to be that way for a while. Families who have the most resources will be able to secure those houses, and those that need support are going to have to work very hard to get into a permanent solution for themselves. And we're not just missing the affordable housing. We're missing working housing and middle housing. And really, as generations get older, having an accessible housing unit that you can age into place is a huge need. We have a big gap there, so that hopefully the housing industry is looking at creating accessible options or options that can be retrofitted into accessible options later.
Is there any direct contact between the LTRG and the housing home builders, the real estate community, any of those people?
Yeah, that's a big part of my job. So as the housing recovery director, my focus is to build and maintain momentum around the housing elements that are needed. I support local contractor capacities. I host a work group that is housing and land availability focused. And a lot of our conversations are revolve around housing issues of supply and red tape and workforce skilled labor needs, and try to convene these partners who are all working in the area to improve so that the effort can be coordinated, which have the biggest impact possible.
Talk about those two parts, labor and red tape, and how tight is the market? I've noticed across the country, it seems like there's a shortage of people available for construction.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the most challenging issues coming up in the future, is that we are going to invest a lot into housing in Oregon, which is an amazing thing. We're going to need people to do the work. We're going to need contractors that have that are set up to be able to take some of these projects on. And so I'm really interested in working with some of the campuses and schools, and I have connections and relationships with them already to really build out and train the next generation of home builders here, because we will need people to take our investments and resources and tackle the housing issue. There'll be an opportunity for the younger generations to really find a place in creating housing locally and attainable, affordable housing. And I think it's a real need that's going to come up, especially as we try to tackle this housing shortage.
Now, the red tape part of that, I mean, are the communities, well, mostly Phoenix and Talent, where the rebuilding is going on, are they able to shove aside some of the barriers, or at least to help expedite the rebuilding process?
Yeah, Phoenix, Talent, City of Medford also is largely involved. Even though they didn't have as much loss, they've been obviously a huge partner in the recovery in all three of those jurisdictions, and Jackson County have done a lot of work to speed processes up. The planning and approvals processes can still be slow sometimes. And then if you've got to negotiate any kind of issues that come up and change the plans, it's just a process that takes a little bit of time. And so in anything that the local jurisdictions can do, which they have been already, to just speed up those processes could really help in speeding up the construction of the inventory. So I think there's always work to be done. And if everybody's working on it together, kind of like in line with our mission, is to coordinate these partners so that they can hear what issues are being seen on the ground here, how that agency or that jurisdiction or organization or volunteer can meet those needs, is one of the things that the long-term recovery group is really focused on doing. And that's where we're having a lot of success.
Matthew, how much help have you gotten, if any, from other long-term recovery groups like in Weed or in Paradise?
Actually, we launched a regional long-term recovery plan, and a lot of that came from lessons learned from Paradise. They did a long-term recovery plan after their fire as well. It's been a big effort for the long-term recovery group, also with Firebrand, Resiliency Collective, and a number of partners in the area. All the jurisdictions have bought into that, and we're in the process of finishing up the draft. We'll hopefully have something in our hands in just the next few weeks, couple months, and be able to share with the community a plan for long-term recovery. A lot of that was influenced by what Paradise did.
Okay.
We're also connected to other long-term recoveries across the state.
Just a couple seconds, Matthew. What's the time horizon for LTRG? Is there a date by which you go poof and shut down?
Well, I think that in all social services, the goal is to work yourself out of a job. So it won't be soon enough, that's for sure, for those that are still experiencing recovery and haven't recovered yet. We'd love to solve this faster.
All right, so watch this space is the message. Matthew Havniar is the Housing Recovery Director for the Jackson County Community Long-Term Recovery Group. Thanks so much for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange to bring us to an update on fire housing recovery.
I appreciate you having me and having this subject brought up. Thank you.
You bet. This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.